Pioneer in bringing mind-body medicine into hospitals. She has founded guided imagery programs in 5 hospitals and frequently consults for medical institutions, creating integrative care programs. In the last year, her book and expert advice have appeared in a number of magazines, including Family Circle, Natural Health, Great Health Body Plus Soul, Shift, San Francisco Medicine. A sought-after speaker, she lectures in a broad range of settings that includes KRON 4 Television, the National Wellness Conference, the Commonwealth Club, to name just a few. You will find additional information on her website, www.lesliedavenport.com. Leslie, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. Happy to be here.
I'm so glad to have you here. Leslie, I'm wondering, how did you first get into self-guided imagery?
Boy, that's a long story. So it depends how far back we want to go. I like to tell the story that as a child, that my first teacher of imagery was actually my cat.
Oh.
Because I would watch her leap from the ground up onto a shelf, and what I noticed before she moved was that she would get very still, she'd focus on where she wanted to go, and then it seemed effortless. And there's a way that those steps are a part of the imagery process, getting quiet, focusing on where you want to go, and then finding that the movement follows.
Oh, so as a child, you found that intriguing. No, I think that's really interesting that you found that intriguing. So you watched your cat, and then was it in your teenage years or your young adult years that you started getting more interested as well?
Well, I was going to say, you know, that's usually not the answer people expect. They want the degrees and the credentials, which came later.
Well, not me. I think that's much more interesting.
But there, you know, in a way it speaks to the fact that imagery is a very, very deep, natural human process, and that it is actually evident. And it has been a fascination of mine for a long time of how people tick, you know, how do we work? Why are we here? What is life about really? And there are so many areas to explore. And now what's been called the large umbrella of mind-body medicine is sort of where I find myself in this arena, where imagery is one of those tools that has been not only defined but now researched to support the ways it really can help with health and healing.
Oh, that's great. Now, before we get into that, just to make it clear, how would you describe guided imagery? Is it where you picture yourself on a beach in a relaxing setting or using your imagination to help you relax?
That's what I would call the first step.
Okay.
And guided imagery is probably most widely used in the arena of stress management. But the reason I say it's just the first step is that the application has become quite vast. It can be used for pain management. It can be used in some of the psychological areas of working with people with emotional trauma, preparation for surgery. So in addition to it being relaxing and stress relieving, it also can help people face some of the most difficult things they might be going through in sort of a head-on way.
And how would someone get started? I mean, obviously your book is a great place to start because you have a lot of imagery, obviously, guided imagery in there. But if somebody, you know, is just feeling stressed, let's say, what is a good way for them to just sort of get centered and get in that space to actually, you know, prepare themselves to do it?
Well, the first thing I would say is to remind people that everyone can do imagery. It's been around long enough that there's actually a fair amount of misconceptions about it. Sometimes when I work with people, I'll hear them say, oh, well, you know, I tried that once in a workshop, but I'm just not the kind of person who can sit still or picture something or, you know, stop my thoughts.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
So there's a lot I could talk about in that arena, but to be a little more direct, I always say that the imagery journey begins as soon as you close your eyes and you begin to bring your focus away from the typical thinking mind. Not that those thoughts are going to stop, but we can learn to redirect our attention. And that does come with practice. It's like anything you want to learn, learning to play tennis, learning to play the piano. It does require a little bit of practice before it gets easier. And I often say the simplest thing, because this is with you anywhere, anytime, is to bring attention to your breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And that when people breathe in, they can silently say to themselves the word clarity, wanting to bring a clarity of mind. And every time someone exhales, they can silently say the word peace. And just stay with those intentions and with the breath. And even to do that for 2 or 3 minutes can bring a remarkable shift.
Oh, that's great. I'm writing that down. And on to say, you know, if there's all these horrible things that are going on in your life or just a lot of crisis, it's hard to get into that place. But I think what you just said is such a great way to start.
Yes, and you know, again, so much is about learning to direct our attention. You know, if there's a lot of noise, our attention tends to go to the loudest one, literally or figuratively, but that's not where it has to go. There's a great Chinese proverb that says that in any moment there are 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows. And sometimes what we're attentive to is what we've become habituated to focusing on. And it's so easy for that path to lead to our worries, to our fears, what if this, what if that. And it's not that those things shouldn't be attended to, but it's just most of us spend so much time there that we forget that there's also 10,000 joys.
That's true. No, it's good to remember. Now, I mentioned in the beginning that you've worked in a lot of hospitals and clinics. If you can tell us about that and how the guided imagery is incorporated into those settings.
Yes. Well, I'll start with where I am now.
Sure.
And go backwards if that's helpful. But I work at California Pacific Medical Center in San Francisco.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And we've brought a whole team of practitioners in. Right now we have close to 20 guided imagery practitioners who work throughout all departments of the hospital, maternity, pediatrics, oncology, cardiology, physical rehab, hospice. And the practitioners are really well integrated into providing care for the patient. So, for example, they sit on hospital rounds along with the physicians, nurses, nutritionists, social workers. And I'm thrilled to say that the very personalized guided imagery sessions with these patients are provided at no cost to the patients as just part of their hospital care.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and this style of imagery is what I call receptive or an interactive style of imagery. So rather than the practitioner saying, okay, now you're on the beach, you know, you feel the sand under your feet, you hear the seagulls. Instead, it's an invitation for the person to discover the images that are most soothing for them. So the practitioner would instead say, I'd like you to imagine a place that feels safe, comfortable, maybe even a healing environment. And wherever that might be, indoor or outdoor, describe aloud to me where you are and what it's like. So that it's always a very personal match for what that person may need at that time.
Oh, I like that. You know, when I was pregnant, I took a hypnobirthing class. And we had to do some imagery, and I love watching my dogs run in the woods. I just love it. So I and I love my husband's voice, so I told him, you know, and then he taped it so I could listen to it during labor and everything, and it really helped. And it was nice, again, that it was my own place that made me feel happy, you know.
It's so key. You know, and to give you an example, you know, walking along the beach is great for a lot of people, but if somebody just happened to be one of those who, when they were young, had a really scary experience, you know, they felt like they almost drowned. You know, when someone says, now you can hear the sound of the waves, it can actually go the opposite direction. And, you know, it's sort of impossible to get that detailed of a history for the practitioner to design it. So instead, to elicit it from the person always takes it where it needs to go. And I think that's even more important when it does get to other things like helping a person address healing from cancer or from an accident. The more relevant and meaningful the imagery is to the person, the more effective it tends to be.
I see. Now, how does this relate to hypnosis? Because both my father, he's an ophthalmologist, and with his patients, he'll use hypnosis before they go into surgery to help them. And my brother's a hypnotist
fantastic.
as well.
I would say they're very close cousins and they're getting more similar all the time.
Okay.
It used to be that hypnosis classically was very directive, you know, picture this, imagine this, feel this, with a good intention. The idea being, you know, I'm going to paint this template for you, and if you can step into it, it's going to give you all the resources you need, versus what I've described as this more interactive style where the imagery comes from within the person. But sometimes imagery uses a slightly more directive style. I found a lot of hypnotherapy is moving toward a more interactive way of working. So they're kind of meeting in the middle, really.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Conversations and little mini sessions happen in the hallway. It might be a family member, who, because as everyone knows, when an illness or an accident happens, it really is a collective experience. A lot of people are affected by it.
Oh, yeah.
So
Definitely.
we attend to family, we do attend to staff, very much so. In fact, we have an employee wellness program where our services are available in that way as well. So yeah,
Okay.
everybody's included.
Now, speaking of people and stories and such, in your wonderful book, Healing and Transformation Through Guided Self-Imagery, you share stories of people who use guided imagery, and you say, quote, "Some of the people you will read about have been moving for quite some time towards a new understanding about themselves and life. Then we see the movement when, like fruit ripening on a branch, they effortlessly drop into new perspectives." That is so beautifully written, by the way. I love that. And, you know, this must be so rewarding. Can you share a story of one of these people from the book? There's Evelyn and there's a bunch of other folks, but, you know, if there's someone that stood out, or even someone that you're working with, or if you want to use a anonymous name.
Sure. You know, and I'm glad that you gave it that preface, because I do, as you've seen in the book, I have about 12 or 13 or 14 examples of how people have used imagery for a wide variety of things. And sometimes they sound so like, wow, you know, I don't know if I could do that, that they often are the culmination of work or perspectives that then are just, you know, right at the point of where that significant change occurs. And that is what I tried to highlight there. So, but again, these are sort of ordinary people, and everybody could enter into this process. So I'll just speak very briefly about Daniel, because this is a great example of how the body and the mind work together in healing. So he was very successful working in finance, kind of high achiever guy, and at 51, he had a heart attack. And of course, like these things that come out of the blue, you know, it just pulled the rug out from under his feet, and he had to reevaluate everything about his life. And he started with imagery, because in the cardiac rehab program here, we are one piece of the whole program, especially in the stress management arena. So we started out with things like how to relax, how to make your workday a more complete ending before you go into a more leisurely evening. And he found all of that really helpful. There were some tools that helped him sleep better at night. And because he found that comfortable, he was sort of curious about, well, what else with imagery? And so we did a session a little bit later where he visited his heart, and he invited an image to form for his heart, and he went into a communication, a dialogue with his heart, and he was quite startled to hear the voice of his heart saying, "I've been waiting a long time for you to come back to me."
Oh, my gosh.
And it was really, he didn't quite know what that meant, but he got tearful and curious, and we explored that further, and it led to this really beautiful view of his life as a whole. And in a quick snapshot, his father had moved his family to the U.S. from Eastern Europe. He was very hard, his father was very hardworking, shopkeeper, really wanted his children to have, you know, a greater chance of success. And Daniel, as a young man, had been drawn to landscape gardening. That's kind of where he found his joy, but he had pushed that aside because he felt a loyalty and an obligation to kind of carry out his father's dream of success. And at this point in his life, he began to really evaluate, well, is this my heart's calling? You know, and now, especially at this turning point in my life, maybe I need to look at this again. And his father, when this occurred to Daniel, had died about 3 years prior. And over a period of time, Daniel decided to take a stone that he had in his own personal garden and infuse his gratitude for his father and take it to his father's grave site and place it there with a sense of, thank you for all you've given me, and I'm going to give your dream back to you. And again, you know, it's because imagery taps in simply by using awareness to these parts of ourselves that we don't often pay attention to. These things come out all the time, really, very, very beautiful and moving transformations that people make.
Now, so for people listening, I think the thing you said earlier was so important with the 2 to 3 minutes, with the inhale clarity and exhale peace. And then, is it something that people can do 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day? I mean, because I know people always get overwhelmed. I have so much to do. But then if they did this, things would be so much easier, right? But,
Yep. Well, the basic relaxation, just getting quiet, you know, being able to shed the pace and hecticness of a day can definitely happen in 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay.
To go into a little more in-depth exploration, the way imagery can go, I recommend 20 minutes.
Okay.
And because I'm so committed to helping people rediscover these parts of themselves, I've made a lot of resources available at no cost through my website.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. So I have, for example, I have 5 or 6 free MP3s.
Oh, that's great.
That last anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes, and they're titled, so they have slightly different themes. Some are relaxation-focused, some are vitality-focused.
Oh, great.
And they can either click on the computer and just listen. They can download them if they have something like an iPod. And one of them is called Journey to the Wisdom of Your Heart. That is a downloadable worksheet as well as an MP3 that guides you through the steps of how to actually explore a concern or a health symptom and get an image for yourself that would support healing.
Oh, that is wonderful. Leslie, I want to thank you so much for being on It's Your Health. This has been wonderful. I am really excited to go and download those MP3s. And so people can go to www.lesliedavenport.com. And I encourage everyone to get the book. It's wonderful. And
oh, thank you so much.
And I you must love what you're doing, and you can tell. And where you work, oh, my gosh, that's just beautiful, beautiful. I'm from California, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years, and it still feels fresh and new.
Oh, that's wonderful. I can tell. Well, thank you so much. And everyone,
thank you. Keep listening,
because in a moment we'll be joined by Susan Kohler, author of Communicating with Alzheimer's, a practical guide and workbook for families. So stay tuned.